loves me with an everlasting love. In the veil, he's my priest above. The one that calls me undefiled is dove. My bridegroom, my love. He
I have been so blessed this weekend. I mean that. I would like for Chris and Vicky to sing a special before I preach every single time. I mean that. It has been so wonderful to hear the gospel preached. I mean that. I really do. It's been so wonderful to see brethren who I love so much. And I just sincerely thank you for having us. Thank you for having our family. On behalf of our family, thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you to this congregation for everything that you have done to put on a conference. Thank you for doing this. We all want to especially thank Adam and Lauren for opening their home to us. You guys are rivaling the greatest hosts we've ever had. Sincerely, I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Our text will be verse 14. But let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down to it. At that time, Herod the tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Herod beheaded John the Baptist, and when John's disciples heard that that's what had happened, they went and asked if they could have his body, and they took it and buried it. And then they went and told the Lord everything that had happened. And when our Lord heard their report, he got into a ship and he went to a desert place apart, and a great multitude followed him. And when they got to him, he healed every one of them that was sick. Verse 13 says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now, what strikes me in reading this is how calmly our Lord responded to their news. Just how calmly he responded to their news. John's disciples came and told him the horror of what had just happened. And our Lord very calmly left that place, and he went on about his good business. He went to another place, and he healed everybody that was sick. The reason our Lord responded so calmly to their news is because it was not news to him. It wasn't news to him. It was news to them, but it was not news to him. Our Lord himself is the very one who predetermined for that to be done to John. Our Lord is the one who allowed it. Our Lord is the one who ordained it. Our Lord is the one who sovereignly reigns and rules over all things, even this. Even this. In Deuteronomy 32, he said, "I kill. I wound." Job 14 says, "Man's days are determined. The number of his months are with the Lord. The Lord God has appointed his bounds, and man cannot pass those bounds." Man cannot pass those bounds. Sometimes we go talk to a doctor, and the doctor informs us a little bit about some of these things, and sometimes we don't. But we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Man's days are determined. The number of his months are with the Lord. They're not shortened. They're not lengthened. The Lord God has appointed his bounds, and we cannot pass. Cannot pass. Romans 8 says, whom the Lord God foreknew, he predestinated the life of that man or woman. You think about that. Predestinated. Do we realize what comfort there is in predestination? He appointed everything about that person's life. A time to be born, a time to die, which really is a time to live. There's a time to live. Time to be born and then a time to live. There's a time to be physically conformed to the Lord's image. Predestinated. There's going to come a moment when mercy and grace is revealed. Every time in between that, it's all appointed. Hebrews 9 said, it is appointed unto man once to die. It's not an accident. It's not an unfortunate circumstance. It's an appointment by God Almighty. For all men. All men. But most importantly, it was appointed by God Almighty for the God-man. Most importantly, Christ Himself, even His death, was appointed by God Almighty. Father, Spirit, and Son Himself. When He would die, how He would die, why He would die. In John 10, he said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. God Almighty chose to use the means. He did. He purposed in his own will to use the means of some Jews. And he used the means of the Romans and a Roman cross and such on and so forth. But everything that they did was predetermined for them to do it. Everything. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was no surprise to God. Our Lord's reaction to John's death, that ought to show us something very comforting concerning Christ's death. His own death. The fact that Christ's disciples begged for his body. And they buried him in a tomb. That was not news to God. You know, men and women say, if I'd have been around back then, I would have put a stop to that. God wouldn't have allowed it. Thank God. That was the decease that the Father sent our Lord to accomplish. That was the work that was given him, that the Father declared concerning his Son, he shall not fail in it. That was Christ's business for being here. He said, for this cause came I into the world. And I want to take what time we have here this morning to just look at that cause, all right, for just a minute. I want our Lord's reaction to John's death to be a reminder of the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've titled this message, The Gospel in One Verse. I could have titled this, The Cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, verse 14. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. That's salvation. That's salvation. That's what Christ accomplished in his death, his appointed death. That was his cause. That was his cause. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. That's what Christ did for his people. That is the declaration of Christ. That is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was his cause. Now let's just focus on each line. Verse 14 says, "And Jesus went forth." This all started with him. Salvation, the healing of their sickness. God did this. A lot of people don't realize this. They don't realize this. God did this. God did this. Salvation is of the Lord. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. In the beginning, God. That's how this happened. That's how salvation happened. God did it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word Himself was with God. The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and came to us. He came and dwelt among us. Why? Why did God become flesh and dwell among us? Why? Matthew chapter 1 told us why. Turn with me over there, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1 verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he might save his people from their sins." Don't you love the word shall? That's why he came to us. He came to save us from our sins, even though our sins were so many, so many. One of you men, maybe Brother Chris, said Friday night, when you get to know something of sin, you will hate yourself. That is so true. So many. The angel said, he, by himself alone, shall save, cleanse, heal, redeem, justify, wash his people. Did he come for everybody? Did he come here for everybody? Did he come to do this for everybody? If he did, he's a failure. Because everybody's not saved. There are men and women in hell right now as we speak. So if Christ came to save everybody, then he did not accomplish what he came to do. He did not finish the work. We cannot put our hope and our trust in his word. What he did may or may not be enough to save us. But thank God. Thank God. Every now and then I get a hold of this. I say it all the time. I believe it all the time. Every now and then I get a hold of this. Thank God. Here's the truth of the matter. I'm so glad our God reigns. I'm so glad He will never step down from His throne. Aren't you so glad no one will ever take His place? Somebody, we don't know who it is. How will the results turn out? Who's taking it next? Aren't you so glad God remains on His throne forever? Thank God, here's the truth of the matter. Not one drop of His blood failed. Again, one of you men were describing the Lord on the cross as His blood was falling on the ground, pouring from His hands, pouring from His feet, pouring from His side, pouring from His back. Not one drop failed. Not one drop of His priceless, oh, the value, the most expensive thing in heaven. The value of all of heaven. The precious blood, not one drop was wasted. Every single drop accomplished the purpose it was poured out for. Every particular soul that blood was meant for. Every soul that blood was sacrificed for and shed for and poured out on. Every soul in that blood was saved. Eternally saved. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. His particular people from their sins. That's why He came. That's what He did. And that's what our text illustrates to us this morning. Turn back with me to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 14 says, "And Jesus went forth." God did this. The Lord Jesus Christ did this. "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." He did this. Verse 14 says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude." He was not looking at every soul on earth. He was looking at a particular group of people. Thank God, it was a great multitude. Thank God, it was a great multitude. Concerning God's true elect people, the Scripture says it is a number that cannot be numbered. A great multitude. I love hearing that, because that means there might just be room for me. There might be room for me. Verse 14 says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them." Why did Christ die for His people? Why did Christ die for His people? Why did they nail Him to Calvary's tree? Why, tell me why, was He there? Why did Christ die for His people? He died for His people because He was moved with compassion toward them. What does that word compassion mean? Love. Love. He died for them because He loved them and gave Himself for them. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. All the way to the end. "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," because He commended His love toward us. Greater love had no man. Herein was love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation, the covering. Love covered it all for our sins. That's the reason why He saved us. That's why He died for us. Oh, the love that drew salvation's blueprint. Think about the Father, Son, and Spirit. God the Father looked at the Son and the Spirit and said, "I promise, I'll choose them. I'll give them to you."
The son said, "Father, if you choose them, I'll die for them." And the spirit said, "If you die for them, I'll go get every one of them."
Oh, the love. Verse 14 says, "Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." That's what Christ accomplished in his death. The great physician healed his sick people, sick with sin. When God the Son cried, "It is finished," they are perfected, they are redeemed. When he cried that, God the Father cried, "I am satisfied. I am satisfied with their redemption. I accept their redemption." And God the Spirit cried, "I'm going to go deliver the good news." Live. Live. I think you said that there was something you desperately wanted for people. Maybe you said it. Doesn't matter who says it, does it? Something you desperately wanted for people. I want it too. I want us to live. Life is coming. I want us to live. I want those of us, me at the top of the list, who were so dead in this world, dead in trespasses and sins, lifeless before God. I pray the Spirit of God might come and say, "Live. Live. You are healed." I pray the Spirit might say to a soul today, "You are healed. You're well. You're well. There is remission. There is remission. You're in remission. You've been quickened, revived, made upright again. By the operation of the Son of God, all because of His work, you can now live and move and have your being." That's what Christ accomplished in His appointed death for His people. He Himself bore our sins in His own body. David was rejoicing and giving so much thanks to God in Psalm 103 because he said, "Just remember all His benefits. He heals all our diseases." He has. He has. One day, real soon, we're going to be rid of all these diseases. He healed the great disease, and the result of that is He'll heal every other disease that comes from it. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. That means because of what Christ did, because of what He endured, because of what He accomplished, the sin is gone. It is gone. I have in my notes to turn to Jeremiah 50. And I thought about not having you turn there because Brother Todd's the one who first showed me this verse. And I feel like every time I preach and he's sitting there, I say, "Go to Jeremiah 50. And I thought, I'm not going to do it this time. Turn with me to Jeremiah 50. This could be one of the greatest verses that could ever be read. No scripture is above another scripture, but this sure does bless my soul. Jeremiah 50. Just think about this. Jeremiah 50, verse 20. "In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. And if it says that it will be, it will be. God will say, go search, go look. Send them out. Go see what you can find. See if you can find one spot. Go look and see if you can find one blemish.
One transaction. Dig deep. Dig deep. Verse 20. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. Why will there not be? Why will they not be found? They're not there. They are gone. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. They are gone. They are gone. I don't want to just be forgiven. I need them to be gone. I can't forgive myself if they're not gone. I'll leave you with this. Brother Henry Mahan used to tell the story of when he was 21 years old in 1948. He was driving with a friend of his to a meeting like this. And after the meeting was over, they were driving home, and it was pouring rain, and he didn't see a stop sign and ran a stop sign and hit a woman and tore up both cars. She ended up with a cut on her forehead, and he just felt awful about it, just terrible. And so the police officer gave him a ticket and told him to appear in court. He had a court date, you know, a few weeks later or whenever. And he was nervous about it, so he called his dad in Birmingham, Alabama, to see if he would go with him to the court date. He said, I'd never been to court before. And so his dad came up, and they were sitting in the courtroom with all these other offenders. And he said they sat there for 2 or 3 hours, and an offender would be called up, and they would deal with it accordingly, and then they'd leave the courtroom, and the next one would be called up. And he said, one by one, it got emptier and emptier until he and his dad were the last two people in the room. And the judge looked at him and was looking at all of his papers and fumbling around for just a minute and looked at Henry again. He finally said, son, what are you charged with? And Henry stood up and he said, well, I was driving and it was pouring rain and I didn't see the stop sign. And I ran it. It was my fault. And I hit this woman and, you know, I'm so sorry. And he said, I understand all that, but what are you charged with? And Henry didn't know what to say. And so the judge is looking around. He looks at the officer right there and he said, what is this young man charged with? And the officer's looking through all of his paperwork and he said, I don't have any record of any charge. And he said, the judge said, you don't have any record of any charge. No, Your Honor, I... So the judge, one more time, fumbled through all of his papers, and he looked at Henry and he said, son, there's no charge against you. You're free to go home. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. The Lord Jesus bled. There is remission. Cursed by the law. Bruised by the fall. Christ redeemed every one of us. One time. For all. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. Maybe it ought to be titled, Thank God for the Gospel. Thank God for Christ. Thank you, brother.
Let's stand together. We'll sing the hymn that's on the back of the bulletin. Hopefully there's enough. There should be 3 or 4 in the pews. There's a few in the back if you have access there. Let's all stand together. We'll sing that hymn.